huh? Packing the mail, it's gone. She like I smell cologne. Yeah. I just signed a deal, I'm on. Yeah, yeah. I go where I want, good. Play if you want, let's do it. I'm a young CEO, sure. Yeah.
Hey guys, what is up? Welcome back to the Millennial Wave. My name is Rachel Kayleen, if you don't already know from all the other episodes, but this is episode 22, and today I have in the studio a great recommendation from my friend Josue Garcia, who you probably saw on episode 19. Entrepreneur, like complete turnaround from going from the corporate world to entrepreneurship. So one of his really good friends, I would say best friend.
He's one of my closest buddies.
Like, you guys literally went to Thailand together.
Yeah,
I mean, clearly guys are pretty close. Together, yeah. That's pretty awesome. But this is Cesar Jimenez, okay? He is a full-time hustler. He went from being a dropout to entrepreneur, and he has a really unique story about kind of how everything came about. A lot of different failures, struggles, but he's here to tell you guys about it and how he's been able to overcome those things and really create something powerful. So thank you for coming on.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm excited too. So since we haven't really gotten to know each other very well, why don't you kind of tell the people a little bit about how you got started in the world of entrepreneurship? Because you dropped out your last semester of college.
Mm-hmm.
Your last semester of college. Yeah.
Like six classes before finishing.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. So I feel like a lot of people hearing that would be like, oh my God, like, what? You're so close. Why did you stop? So why don't you tell people a little bit about what was going through your mind when you decided to drop out? Not saying that some people are considering it that are listening to this. Actually, it's graduation season.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are graduating. But what was kind of like your thought process when you were going to drop out, and why? Did you already have your business ready and involved, or how was that?
Yeah, definitely. I think to better answer that question, I'd have to like take a few years back, because one of the reasons that I failed was just not making like a choice and then just going with it. So I've always been into like, I'll kind of just start where I initially started. I've always been like, throughout high school, I would like buy candy bars for 50 cents and then resell them for a dollar. And so I would make money that way. I would buy like headphones from China and then resell them on like Craigslist. Then one day I saw a friend, this was back my senior year of high school, I saw a friend who had a broken iPhone and she was complaining that it was hurting her finger. And so that was like the light bulb moment for me, like, okay, broken phone, like everyone's gonna have an iPhone in the next few years. Like if I learn to fix it, there's gonna be a huge demand for people that know how to fix phones. And so at the time, I had like a $30 Android. So this super cheap Android that wasn't really like a phone that you could take apart. And so I kind of was stuck there like, okay, I can't really take this apart. Started watching YouTube videos on how to fix iPhones. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. It's probably something I can do. But I couldn't get my hands on actual iPhones. And so what I did was I started to email all the repair shops around me in the bigger city. And I basically sent them an email that said something like, hey, I'm a senior in high school. I'm going to go to college. I'm either going to go to Davis or UC Santa Barbara in like a couple months. I want to learn how to fix phones. So when I go to college, I can make that like a side hustle. And I had a few repair shops reach out and say like, yeah, you know, we'll charge you this much to train you for this many days, blah, blah, blah. And I had one repair shop that was like, yeah, come in. Like, let's talk. Let's see like how we can help each other. We ended up making like an agreement that I would come in and he wouldn't pay me, and I would help him when it was busy. So when it was busy, I'd help him with customers, I'd help him do invoices, and when it was slow, he would let me take apart the broken phones that he had in the store. And so my senior year, I was really into running, I was really into like cross country and track. My senior year, I decided to not do track and to just go do this job. And that was the very first time where all my track coaches were like, what are you doing? Like, this is your senior year of track. Like, you're going to go work for free somewhere? Like, how is that going to help you? And in my head, I was like, I see potential in this, and I'm going to go and forego my senior year of track and just go work for free and learn. And I was really hungry to learn. And I, within that last 3 months of high school and 2 months of summer, I was able to learn pretty much the basics. I went off to college, started doing it out of my dorm room. was posting like ads on like the college groups and stuff, and I was doing like, I don't know, 10 repairs a week, maybe.
That's a lot.
That's a good amount, yeah.
And were you making a lot?
I was making enough to have like spending money.
And you were, did you have another job on top of it or no?
No. Okay. I luckily, and this is back to your question, like I dropped out. I had really good financial aid. So at the time, I didn't really have to pay a lot. And I had a lot of scholarships. And so all the money that I was making was really just like, just spending money. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I was making like, I don't know, maybe like $200 or $300 a week.
Okay.
Fixing phones, which was like pretty good for like a 18-year-old.
Yeah.
But my freshman year, I was already looking for like places to open a store. Like that was already in my head. I already had bought like a domain name.
Oh, nice.
And I was already kind of like checking things out, but I knew I couldn't afford to go and open a store. And so after my freshman year, I went back home and I went back to my old boss and basically asked him for a summer job. Mm-hmm. And so a couple weeks into the summer, I was telling him about Woodland. You're familiar with Woodland,
yeah,
right? So I was telling him about this city next to Davis called Woodland, and there was no repair shops there. It was 60,000 people, pretty big city, and there was no repair shops. This was back in 2014. Actually, 2015, the summer of 2015. And he was like, well, you know what? If you want, what we'll do is I'll help you sign the lease, get the store going, and then you'll pay me $750 as a like commission. Basically, as a fee, every single month. And I was 18. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know for how long, or there was no like established contract agreement. Yeah, it was just like, and so I went ahead and did that.
So just to be clear, he said, okay, I will go and I will put my money into it. I will open up the shop. I know exactly how to do it because I've done it before.
Yeah.
And then all you have to do is pay me every single month $750 to go and bring your business in there and make money.
So yeah, essentially, all he would do is help me set everything up, you know, get a sign up, get the lease signed, pay the deposit, get the stuff in there to the basic, you know, a desk, a chair, blah, blah, some accessories on the wall. Nothing too crazy. I think we had maybe spent like $6,000 or $7,000 getting that small store up to doing repairs. And so here I am as a 18-year-old, like, running this store, because he went for a week, he helped me out, and then he came back, and now you're on your own.
Yeah.
So the rent for that place was $750. I had to pay him $750. I had some like electricity, internet, stuff like that. I had an overhead about $1,800.
You by yourself?
Me by myself.
You had to pay for everything?
I had to pay. Well,
did you
like? What? I had to pay for all the like all the bills going forward.
So he opened up the business. Did he just take a percentage and then, you know, he's like, all right, you're on your own?
He took which was the $750. So he would get $750 every month.
Oh,
he put in $7,000. So within maybe 11 months, he'd get his money back. And then after that, he would just have a residual of $750 a month for really doing nothing, right? Yeah. For just helping me start.
Yeah.
And so I didn't have anywhere to live that summer, and I was like, okay, well, that's going to be another $500 to $600 to live somewhere. I'll just live here.
Oh, fuck.
So I lived.
Dummy.
Yeah. So
hell no.
So I moved into the back of my store.
Oh,
into like a back office. I bought this cheap ass futon and lived there for the remainder of the summer, which is like 2 months.
No one found out?
No one found out.
Oh, I thought you were going to tell me some story about like the cops coming, like, you can't live here.
It was a big mistake because I never left the store.
Okay.
And so essentially I would open the store, you know, 10 to 7. And then at 7 p.m. I would lock the door and go to the back. And even just the first day I got there, I was like, oh, shit. What did I get myself into? I'm going to start school in 3 months. Meaning within 3 months, I have to have the store in some place where I can leave to go continue going to school my sophomore year. And the first week I got there, I'm like, oh, fuck, I fucked up. Like, I screwed up. Like, I have this huge commitment now, $1,800 a month, without employees, right? Me having to do all the work. And I'm still going to be a full-time college student. Like, shit. And I, like, that's when, like, I first had this, like, anxiety feel of, like, oh, shit. And so throughout that summer and just living there, it just took a huge toll on me where I never left. And it was always like, okay, like, and you know, the first few months that you open, you're not, we're not super busy.
Yeah.
We're still, it's still a new business. So even $1,800 is a lot of money. And so I just became really like depressed and I was just like, this is not what I thought I wanted to do. I started to train someone and I was really bad at that as well, just training people. And he, and training and just seeing what kind of person he was, I wasn't able to recognize that he was just there to make money and not passionate about fixing stuff. Mm-hmm. And so I ended up like having to let him go like a week and a half school before school started. So then school starts my fall quarter and I'm like trying to have four classes and then I'm trying to drive back to Woodland, open the store, be there 56 hours a week. And I'm just like, this is, and then I think just going through all that, everything was like, I was very emotional about everything. Like, I felt like my vendors just wanted my money. I felt like there was nobody really cared about me. People just wanted my money. And even though that's true, at the time, I just was like, man, this is not what I want to do. I'm not happy. Like, and so I reached out to this partner, which is my old boss, and said, hey, like, let's figure out a way to get out of this contract. Because I had two options at the time. I could either hire somebody that knew how to repair stuff already mm-hmm. and just put him into work. But then that would mean I'd have to trust them. Mm-hmm. And he'd have to, like, be ready to go. Or I'd have to drop out of school my sophomore year. And in retrospect, that's probably when I should have dropped out. But the problem was that I was unsure of which way to go.
Yeah.
I was like, do I do this?
You were in like a hard headspace. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like you were, number one, not even happy. Mm-hmm. So like if you dropped out, you're just like, fuck.
Yeah,
now
exactly.
Now I'm really unhappy.
Now I'm really unhappy with, you know, now I have this full like stress. And mm-hmm. Now I don't have school. And so what I decided to do was call him and say, hey, let's figure out a way to get out of this lease. He had three stores at the time in the Central Valley. So he had a good team of employees and people that knew. So he sent them out for a couple weeks, mm-hmm. until he could find people in Woodland to work. Mm-hmm. And then I went back to school. I went back to school really depressed. Like, I just lost my business. You know, like,
so he took it over.
He took it over.
You weren't involved at all anymore.
Yeah, so he took it over.
He couldn't have just helped you with that in the beginning? Goddamn.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of like the mistake I made is we didn't really have an agreement. It was more of like he was going to come, set it up, and then there was no more resources. Versus if I would have bought into like a franchise model, which would have costed me $70,000 if I would have bought into a franchise, which wasn't an option. They would have given me resources and marketing and stuff like that. Yeah. And so I went that route. But what I did was I went back to school really like sad that now I lost the business that I like had spent so much energy on, mm-hmm. and I did really bad in school, and I like got D's and F's in all my classes, didn't go to class, like just watched Netflix all day and like didn't care about anything. There was like, I just went through like a really bad like 6 months where I just didn't care about everything. I basically got like probation, like, you know, like where they're like, hey, if you keep getting bad grades, you're gonna get kicked out. Mm-hmm. So I made a decision. And then that decision that I made, I didn't, like, stick with it and do well with it. And that was, like, looking back, I was like, if I would have just made my decision either way and then just gone, like, full force into that, like, if I'm going to drop the business and go to school, then go do well in school. If I'm going to drop out of school, then I'm going to go do well in my business. But I was so unsure about which one, finally picked one, and then I was still unsure after I picked it. And so sophomore year, junior year went by, and I kind of just went back to just being a student. I had a regular job. I drove for Unitrans, so I learned to drive a bus. I drove, like, a party bus on the side.
Well, it was fun.
Yeah, that was, like, a cool experience. I, like, did an internship for, like, an assemblyman. And then I was watching a video of Gary Vee. And he was, yeah, so
this is everyone's watching.
Yeah, everyone, right? This was a video, and I had been listening to Gary for a while, but this is really where like that entrepreneurial bug.
Was that Monday morning one? No. Or, okay, that host Sway talks about. If you're head down, no. Sad.
No. Gary, it was actually very practical. He said, you know, if you want to make money, you can go to the Dollar Tree. You can buy things that are a dollar and sell them on eBay for $3 or $4. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, wait, really? I remember doing that in high school where I would buy headphones from China and then sell them. I'm like, I've kind of done this before. Mm-hmm. And so then I went to the Dollar Tree. I like started to scan stuff. Once you get into it, you can actually scan barcodes. You can see what they're selling for online. And so I started to scan everything and everywhere I went, Walmart, Target, everywhere. I was just scanning stuff and I would start to buy things and then sell them on eBay and Amazon. I started going to Goodwills and buying things that were brand new in retail packaging at Goodwills and then reselling it for retail price on Amazon, eBay. And I was like making really good money. And I was like...
But you were having to send them, right?
What?
You were having to send them to the people's house?
So, Amazon has a program called FBA, Fulfilled by Amazon. So you actually send all your stuff to Amazon, and then they ship it out Prime.
Oh, okay.
eBay, yeah, we would have to ship everything out ourselves. Okay. And so I was growing, and I was looking into how to get more inventory. So I was looking to buy pallets of things. I was buying, like, at one point I was buying like $2,000 worth of stuff on Target's website.
Oh, shit.
And then reselling it on Amazon's website for double the price. Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
you can do that. It's legal?
Yeah, it's legal. Oh, so sometimes there's so many price discrepancies. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll find a toy that's selling on Target's website for $20, but on Amazon it's selling for $60. Mm. And so, you know, like, you buy, you know, 50 of them online, they ship them to you, and then you repackage them to go to Amazon. And so I was doing that, and there was a ton of problems with that business.
You have like a bunch of stuff stacking up.
Stuff stacking up. Prices change every day. So sometimes you'll buy something, and the price drops, and then now you're like, you lose your margins. But I was like getting into it, and I was like, I kind of found another business that I really liked, and I started looking for an office to work out of in Davis. So I found this really small office, 150 square feet. This was the summer going into my senior year. I found this small 150 square foot office, and I'm like, I'm going to work out of here. And then someone randomly hit me up to fix their phone because I had been doing it throughout college. And I go and I fix their 6 Plus or something. I charge him and I'm like, okay, I just charged him $80. The part costed me like $20. It took me like 10, 15 minutes to do.
Dang.
Like, I just made $60 in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
I'm like, why did I stop doing this? And so then I'm like, okay, I'm going to have this office in like downtown Davis. I might as well start advertising cell phone repair too. Just, I'm going to be there working with this Amazon stuff. I might as well just advertise that I fix phones too. Add an extra like stream of income. And so I ended up having to buy a lot of parts to keep in stock. And so a lot of the money that I had flipping stuff went to iPhone inventory. Mm-hmm. And little by little, I started to shift and just kind of did cell phone repair. Mm-hmm. And so this was my, so then senior year started. My senior year I start, and now I'm basically going, the shop is open 12 to 5. So now I'm a little smarter the second time. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not going to open 10 to 6 because I have classes. So I'm going to open 12 to 5. I'm going to schedule all my classes before 12 and after 5. And that's a lot easier to manage than being open all day like a regular store. So I did that. And like things are going well. I really like it. At the beginning, I'm a little stressed because I'm like, oh shit, here it is again. Like that fear again of that like.
Yeah.
Now I have responsibilities. Now I have to pay bills.
Yeah. I'm sure it was less.
It was less. It was a lot less. Yeah, it was a lot less. Like now it was like $600 or $700.
Oh, okay.
It was like a month to month thing. Yeah. And so it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. But I was still like that same feeling that I felt when I was at that other store came back. And I'm like, oh shit, that's that anxiety again.
Yeah.
Then the next quarter I'm like, UC Davis gives something called the Pell Program. So they essentially let you leave for a quarter just to go do whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Like if for like a quarter you just want to leave, you don't want to tell the school why, you're going on a trip, whatever it is, for 6 months or for a quarter, you can leave and just take a pause. Mm. And so I'm like, I'm going to take a pause.
Do you have to pay?
No. Okay. It's like, you don't, you basically just kind of like, a quarter is just disappears. Yeah. You know, like you just start wherever you left off. And that, I was like, that's cool. I can do that. I can just focus on the business for 3 months. Mm-hmm. And then I'll come back to school after that Pell program, after that quarter.
Yeah.
And so that quarter that I'm doing this full time now, I start to really invest in the actual like knowledge of fixing phones, because I already knew how to do like the basics, screen repairs and stuff like that. But then you go into deeper things like data recovery and being able to fix like the electrical components, right? The actual capacitors, resistors, things that are like electrical engineering related, you know?
Yeah.
So I like started taking courses on that. I flew to Washington, took a course.
Wow. You're taking this so serious.
Yeah, I took it really serious.
Do you love that aspect? Like, do you love the phone business?
No, I don't love it. I like, if tomorrow a cell phone repair would go out, I wouldn't be sad. Like,
really?
Now I just see.
Why'd you put so much effort and time into something like that?
At the time, there's other ways. At the time, that was like a way that I was making money really well. So I didn't really have any other ways. That was kind of like what I was good at, and what I had a really good like strong skill in, just fixing phones. And so people were coming in, and there was some phones that I wasn't able to fix. And a lot of repair shops, a lot of my competition, just say, "Hey, sorry, it's your logic board. We can't fix it. It's not repairable." Even Apple, you take it to the Apple store, they'll say, "No, it's not repairable."
But it is.
And sometimes it really just takes $2 to fix it. A little microchip that's $2.
Oh, wow.
The work is very difficult and very, like, specialized. But that $2 chip, nobody, you know, we charge $115 for that repair. Mm. And the chip is, you know, a couple bucks.
Yeah.
And
but
so
it's the time.
It's, like, the equipment. Like, I have, like, an $800 microscope, because you have to be able to see those small components.
Wow.
Literally, some of the components that we deal with are the size of a speck of dust. You know, iPhones are so complicated that, you know, when you get water in the phone, those small little components will get damaged. So you have to go in and fix them, which most people don't do. They just fix screens, batteries, basic stuff.
Why would someone spend so much time and effort and money to fix a phone that may have like water damage or whatever, rather than just getting a new one?
Yeah.
Do you think they're saving more money by getting it fixed?
For sure, definitely. So, for example, right now what's very, very very common is something called audio IC. So it's iPhone 7 and 7 Pluses are having this manufacturer defect, right? So when Apple's producing millions of phones, they have defects. And they have defects once they get to the consumer. And so one of them is that you lose all audio functions. It has nothing to do with the physical, you know, mic, but rather the actual component that's allowing this to work is no longer working. And so buying a new iPhone 7 Plus is, you know, $300-$400. Mm-hmm. Getting it fixed through us, we give you a lifetime warranty. Ooh. It'll be $100, $110.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it is half
but
the
if
price.
Apple messed up, why wouldn't they just fix it?
That's a great question. So Apple gives a 1 year manufacturer warranty. Mm-hmm. So after that 1 year, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
They have, and that's just one problem that Apple has is audio IC. There's like the six and six plus have issues with touch. Touch will just go out. After a year, if the phone's older than a year, Apple won't do anything about it. There's another defect that phones are having with no service. Apple is actually still recalling those. So those, when customers come in with those, we tell them, yeah, take it back to Apple. They're still recalling them. But these other two, Apple is not going to be liable for. And that's a huge, like, that's a whole nother, like, we can go into 30, 40 minutes about how, you know, Apple controls what we can and cannot repair, right? So Apple tries to keep us as consumers out of being able to repair our own devices. And so, you know, from fixing the iPhone 3GS to fixing the iPhone 10, there's so much more that has happened and there's a lot that you can't no longer do. You can't replace home buttons. They pair things together, so it's like you can't use an aftermarket part. You have to use an original part. Otherwise, it won't work. And so Apple, and there's a lot of legislation on just the right to repair. Us being able to repair our own technology. But that's like a whole nother, section to go into. So where was I?
You're basically, you're building and you're fixing these phones from the office.
Yeah, from this like 150 square foot office. I leave school for a quarter just to go into and just really focus on the business. I go and I start learning about micro soldering, right? Being able to micro solder those small microscopic components. And I invest like a couple thousand dollars in equipment because it requires really expensive equipment.
What were you thinking when you were investing all this money? Oh, it's going to be so fucking
worth it. Yeah, it's going to be so worth it. Like,
really? What? Like what? What was okay when you decided to invest your money, time, effort, and basically drop out of school for this business? What was like? I'm sure your parents probably asked you too. Why? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing this? What is the light at the end of the tunnel?
Yeah.
I know you've thought about
it. Yeah, I've thought about it a lot. I mean, I feel like everything that I'm doing even now is preparing me for something bigger.
Yeah.
And so, like, I love what I get to do every day in the sense that putting, like, the repair aside, like, repairing is cool and everything, but I don't, like, love it. I love the rest of it. I love the marketing. I love, you know, being able to create processes in the business where I'm not needed. You know, like right now we're open. You know, the store is like making money. I'm not there, right? And so we have systems. We have point of sale systems. We have, you know, different procedures in the store. And that I really like. I like being able to like create like a business that will work without me. And so that was what I like. That's what I loved. I love being able to like just create things within the business. The business itself is like a lot less important to me than the actual business. But I'm really, really good at it. And so it made sense to start a business out of it because I'm just really patient with things like this. And like, I'm always trying to figure out how to like fix things better, more efficient, faster. And so, it made sense to be in that business. So yeah, that quarter I'm like investing a lot of time, a lot of money, and I'm really enjoying what I'm doing, and I'm realizing like there's a ton of potential. Like all these repairs that I'm like sending out now, I can actually profit from. Mm-hmm. And so then again, I come to this like time where I'm like, okay, it's time to go back to school. And now I don't want to. Now I'm like, I really love what I'm doing. And I'm at another position where I was a couple years ago where it's either you can go back to school full time. Because I thought in 3 months I could train someone and have them ready, which it wasn't going to happen. And so, I could either minimize my business, cut down my hours, cut down the time I'm investing into it, and go back to school full time. Finish. Get everything done, or I can just let school, put school on pause. Ultimately, I mean, I talked to a counselor, and they're like, if you want to come back in 20 years, you can. You're leaving on good standing.
20 years?
Yeah. Like,
wait, is that like a legit, like you have to wait 20 years?
No. Like if in 20 years you decide you want to come back, you can, because you don't have to reapply. Oh. You just have to re-enroll.
Why 20 years?
She was just like making an example. Oh, okay. Like she was like this. She was like this guy. He's like 40 or 50. He his job couldn't promote him because he didn't have a degree.
Oh.
And so he came back to finish his degree so he could get promoted. And she was making that example of like, this guy came back 20 years after. Which that example alone, like, so this guy worked for this company for 20, 30 years. Now the company is making him go back to school to get a degree so he could get promoted.
To make more money.
Like that's so ridiculous that this guy,
he put in his time,
yet he still needs to go take these dumb classes.
Yeah.
And she was like, we had to basically like make a new curriculum for him because when he was here, it's changed.
Yeah.
You know, and so he didn't learn anything like going back. It just literally the company just wanted that piece of paper.
Yeah.
which is, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so I was at that position. Do I go back to school or do I, you know, and I was like, last time, the reason I failed with the other decision was because I didn't just make my decision. I'm like, I'm gonna go this way. And like, that's it. Like I said, I'm gonna do this and I'm not turning back. I'm not gonna second guess my decision. I'm just gonna do it. And I didn't do that last time. And that's why like I failed. And so this time I was like, once I make my decision, it's made.
Yeah.
There's no going back. I'm gonna live by it. And like, that's my decision.
Mm-hmm.
And so I knew that for me, it was easy because I didn't have any loans. I didn't owe the school money. The only problem was my parents, right? And just to give you guys some background, like, I was born in Mexico. When I was five, Michoacán.
Where is that?
It's like central Mexico.
Yo hablo, español un poquito.
Un poquito.
Yeah.
Yeah, so came from a very like traditional family. My mom's theme since we were little was like, we came to this country for you guys to go to school, get a good job, and like be comfortable, be secure. And like, you know, she made sure we all went to college. Like, you know, my mom like works in the field, like she works like minimum wage. And so sending us to college was like a huge pride for her. I'm going to tell her that I'm going to drop out. And that was the only thing that I was like second guessing. Like, I'm going to really let my mom down, let my parents down. You know, they came to this country. They brought us to this country for us to go to school. Like, I mean, ultimately it's to have like a good life and be happy. They just thought that it was through school,
mm-hmm.
which is what they've just... society has said that you need to go to school to have a good job.
Yeah.
And so that was the only thing that I was like, my mom's going to be pissed. And she was.
You gotta talk to mama.
And she was. And she was. And she was really, really upset. Like, she would call me every day and be like, you're making the wrong decision. Mm. And actually, when I started the other business, everyone in my family told me it was a bad idea.
Yeah.
When I was starting it, they're like, how are you going to do it?
Yeah.
You know, how, like, you're still in college, you're 18 years old. Like, how are you going to start a business? All my siblings, my parents, everyone told me not to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I failed, it was like, see, you should have listened. And so here it is again. They're like, don't drop out. Yeah. Don't do it. Like, and I'm like, this time I felt like I had a plan, though. So
yeah.
I was like, I'm going to do it. Like,
yeah.
And yeah, my mom, even now, like literally a year has passed and my mom would still love me to go back to school.
Yeah.
But now she's a lot less, she pressures me a lot less because she sees the results that it's driving. You know, for the last 2 years, haven't had a job. Like, this has been my only income. And I've been able to employ other people and like create things. So, and I've like traveled a bunch, you know, through this business. And so like now she's a lot less pressure, but I know in the back of her head, if I told her, hey, mom, I'm going back to school, like she would be like excited.
Yeah.
Because that's still what she like thinks is right for me, is getting a job, you know, working for a bank or something and like making, like being secure all the time.
Yeah.
So I dropped out. And just kept going at it. I started, after I dropped out that summer, we like took off. Like, we basically went from making like doing like six or 7,000 a month to like 15.
Mm.
And so that summer we were doing like really good. We were making a lot of money and I was spending money like crazy. I was just buying everything I wanted.
Like for yourself,
or for myself, business? For myself, a lot of it for myself. Like I never had that much money. So I was like, whoa, this is cool. Like,
that happens.
You know, I want to go spend it.
Yeah.
I did spend a lot of it. Like I went up to a lot of like cell phone repair conferences.
Mm.
I went to another course in New York.
At least you were investing into yourself. Yeah.
I was investing a lot into myself.
That's good.
Basically
like material stuff. Or were you?
Not a lot of material stuff. Like, okay. I didn't really, like, go out and buy, like, a car or anything.
Oh, okay.
It was more like I'd buy, like, nice clothes, or I'd go out and I'd, like I'd just cover the tab because I, like, thought I was a baller. which, like, looking back, like, I wasn't. Like, I, you know, I wasn't making money. But, yeah, everything I was investing, I took another course in New York with, like, one of the best micro solders, like, in the world. Mm-hmm. And so I flew out there, you know, paid it, like, I spent, like, $4,000 on the trip. Mm-hmm. But I, like, gained a ton of knowledge. I went to, like, conferences, met a bunch of repair shops that were, they weren't a one-man team. They were, like, entrepreneurs who, their business was cell-phone repair. Mm-hmm. And so, like, just meeting people, and that was, like, a huge, like, investment into myself. And so the office that I have is starting to grow now. So this office, I basically start to rent more offices in that little area to eventually I have three. So now I'm leasing three. I get, like, a three-year lease. This was, like, a few months ago. I install, like, countertop. Like, I make it pretty nice. I invest into the store.
Mm-hmm. Your current store or a new one?
The old one.
Oh, the Woodland one?
No. So the Woodland is still out of the picture at this point, right? The Woodland, I still have no connection with the Woodland store. Okay. Like, I don't know what's going on with it. Like, I know it's still open, but I have no, like, connection with them.
Yeah.
Like, 6 months ago, though, so what ended up happening was my old boss, which is my partner, hired an employee, and that employee eventually bought out the owner. Bought him out.
Oh.
And after she bought him out, I met her. And
how'd you meet her?
She called me randomly and she was, like, asking about a part. And then we just got along really well.
Mm.
And so there was, like, she was not a tech person, right?
She was a business person.
She was more into, like, the flipping phones and stuff like that. And she was more of the business side. But she didn't. So there was a need for me to come in and help her do all these repairs that she was leaving off the table.
Yeah.
And so that's how we started partnering. And she runs my social media. So she does all my social media stuff. And then I help her with all, like, her hardware repairs, board level stuff. And then we have a store manager. And she basically does our scheduling. She schedules our employees. She does my payroll. And then we split her. We split her, like, salary, basically. So we help each other. So just to get to where I am now, I have I have this store that I've put a ton of money into.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to put more money into, but the feeling just isn't right. And you'd have to actually see it to understand what I'm saying, but they're offices.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like walking in here and, like, okay, this one's cell phone repair, but the other offices are something else.
Yeah.
And so it just doesn't have that vibe of, like, retail store.
Yeah.
And so I was going to put new flooring into these offices, and so it's like we're here in this office space. Next to us is the UPS store. And then next to that is a vacant 1,000-square-foot, like, open space, which is double my rent, though. But that would be ideal. And so, like, just realizing, like, this model is not allowing me to max out. I can't – it's hard to help two people at a time. The offices are still pretty small. We're not being a full retail store. And so after, like, negotiating for a couple months – I ended up leasing this new space, which is
in the same office building,
in the same strip mall, but a different. So it's like this one's offices, just a bunch of offices. And I rent three of them.
Mm-hmm.
The next one's a UPS store.
Okay.
And then the next one is the thousand square foot open space.
Okay. So you already leased that one.
So I leased it. Like,
okay.
I got the keys like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, wow.
So now, thank you.
How do you feel?
Excited.
Yeah.
Excited, and I mean, it's been so. Now we have a month to make this new build out and move into this new place.
Okay.
And so this time around. So now these offices were $1,200 a month in rent.
Yeah.
this new place is like 22. So now I again took another leap and was like, you know, I was stressing over 1800 overhead a couple years ago. Like now just rent alone is $2,000. So now we're moving into this new store. And everything, it's like basically my job has like completely changed, because my job was to help customers, teach technicians. Now my job is figuring out how we're going to install the floor, how we're going to build a wall, how we're going to, you know, build tables, countertops. Something that like I didn't sign up for that. I signed up to fix phones and stuff.
Okay, well, how do you feel now that you have this role? How does that role feel? Are you happy about that? Yeah, or do you prefer to be helping customers?
No, I like this role. This, really? Like, it's a...
What like, would you call the role? Boss?
Visionary.
Visionary.
Yeah, okay. Visionary. Like I have an idea of how I want the store to... Here's what I want to build. Is I want to build a store that when you walk in, it feels... like an AT&T or a Verizon store. Mm. But instead of going in and buying a new phone, we have used and refurbished phones. Mm. Like iPhone X's, iPhone 8 Pluses, MacBooks, iPads. And they'll be displayed the same way Verizon stores. So most repair shops have it behind a display case, right? We want the devices to sit on a table where customers can come up, pick them up, use the phone the same way that you would be able to at a Verizon store. Mm-hmm. And so, like, I have this vision in my head of how I want the store to look, of how I want the store to feel. And then it's really just about, like, putting the dollars and, like, the right people in place to make the store look the way I envision it. Mm-hmm. And so that's, like, my parents aren't in construction or anything like that. So I had zero idea about flooring or what it was. Like, there's 50 different types of flooring that you could pick. Like, there's different prices. It's like a whole new challenge. And it really just requires, like literally just Googling stuff. Like, what's this material? What's that material? Like, watching YouTube videos. The same way that I figured out how to fix phones, the same way I figured out how to, like, flip stuff on Amazon, eBay, I basically just learned how to build things now.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's preparing me for later in a few years, I'm going to be building something else.
Yeah.
But this time around, I'm going to have way more experience on what it takes to build things in a place. And so, yeah, this new store build out is like basically going to be all of my money.
Yeah.
Like I almost feel like I'm playing poker and I'm like all in. Like, I'm going to empty out my bank accounts. Mm-hmm. Like, and... June 1st, like, I'm gonna be at zero.
Like, shit.
Like, my bank account's gonna be pretty dry because this new store is gonna cost.
And you know it's gonna be worth it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so last question. What's it for? Like when it's all said and done, let's say it all goes the way that it's supposed to, you start, like, you know, the revenue just increases, the success is there. It may take a while, but you get there, you know, like, this store ends up being a huge success.
Yeah.
What's it for? Is it to continue to build new stores, or is it to be able to invest into other things that you're passionate about? So, number one, what's it all for, and what do you see in the future?
Yeah. Honestly, I feel like, I don't really even care about the money right now. Like I've actually shrunk my, like, living accommodations. Like, I don't eat out as much. Like, I've cut down on things because I want everything to go into the store. So a lot of it, like, yes, I want to make money, but, like, I just know the money's going to come in the future. I want to be able to create something that is really, really awesome. Like, just building something that's cool, like, gets me excited. Like, being able to, like, have this idea and then making it happen and, like, figuring out the little details and things, like, that, like, I just love that. And if I could just do that all the time, I would. obviously, like, I see myself, if this works out, I want to, like, and that's why I want to build it right. Because the last time I, like, just kind of worked with what I had, this time I'm going all out, I'm spending money on things that I like versus things that, like, that's what I can afford. Mm-hmm. If it works out, then it'll be a lot easier for me to build a second store and a third store and a fourth store, because I've built a really good model. I've built store number one is really, really good. Mm-hmm. So then I can move on to the next time I go do a second store, it's going to be way easier. The floor is going to be exactly the same. The countertops, the tables, the display case, the waiting area.
The brand, all the details.
Everything's going to be exactly the same. Like, I've already done the work. Like, I'm doing the work now so that later on it'll just be a few tweaks. Mm-hmm. But the store, we already have a plan. We already have a model.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't see, like, once, if the store just doesn't work in a scale, like, I can open more stores, then that store will just make money, and I want to find other things that I can make money on. And ultimately, like, my goal is to have income where I don't have to always be there. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to have freedom to travel. Like, one of my goals is, like, just for a year to just travel. Mm-hmm. Like, just for 1 year, like, I have nowhere to go, nowhere to be. Like, I'm just going to go places. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to this place, like, stay at a house for 3 months and then move to another country. Mm-hmm. And I want to do that for a year. And I want to be able to, obviously, make money while I'm there. So I want to have, like, just time freedom. Mm-hmm. I want to be able to give back to my family. Give back to my mom, my parents. I want to be able to, like, retire them. You know, my parents, I mean, they live very frugally, but they're not making a lot of money where they can just retire. You know, they're going to have to retire when they're, like, in their 60s, just the way it's going. So I would want to, like, retire them early, take care of, like, my family and stuff. And, yeah, that's my why.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it. Tell these people where they can find you.
So if you guys are in the Sac area, if you guys need any phone issues, Davis Cell Phone Repair is the name of our store. Our Woodland store is called Woodland Cell Phone Repair. And then if you guys want to learn more about me, I post on Instagram, on my stories, more than I used to, but you can find me at Caesar, C-E-S-A-R _J11. But that's my personal Instagram.
Boom! Awesome. All right. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Cool. Awesome. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely.